Monday, the seventh week of Easter. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior of the country and down to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They answered him, "We have never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." He said, "How were you baptized?" They replied, "With the baptism of John." Paul then said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 men. He entered the synagogue and for 3 months debated boldly with persuasive arguments about the kingdom of God. The Word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. The disciples said to Jesus, "Now you are talking plainly and not in any figure of speech. Now we realize that you know everything and that you do not need to have anyone question you. Because of this, we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you believe now? Behold, the hour is coming and has arrived when each of you will be scattered to his own home, and you will leave me alone. But I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. In the world you will have trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world." The Gospel of the Lord. The theme of today's readings: the language is used in preaching of the good news. What kind of language that must a preacher use to effectively preach the good news? First, on the account of the preacher, he must speak the truth because he brings God's message to the people. Secondly, on the account of the audience, since the majority of them are plain people who don't have much literature background to understand stylish words or deep thought, the preacher must use a simple style, clear and easy to understand. Moreover, the purpose of preaching the good news is to lead the audience to have faith in God and to repentance, not to enjoy stylishly talking or literary analysis. Therefore, the preacher must use sincere words, which, guided by the Holy Spirit, to touch the audience's mind and heart, to help them to recognize God's love for them, and to recognize their weaknesses and sins, which shall lead to repentance. Today's readings give us concrete examples in preaching of the good news. In the first reading, when Paul came to Ephesus, he asked the faithful if they'd received the Holy Spirit yet. They answered him, "We have never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then Paul explained to them about the difference between the two kinds of baptism, and when they understood, he baptized them in the name of Christ, so they would receive the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel, when Jesus knew his passion is near, he used the language of heart to help his disciples to know the meaning of what is going to happen, so that they know how to react when it does happen. An analysis of the first reading. Paul patiently educated the faithful at Ephesus. Paul explained the difference between the two kinds of baptisms. In the beginning of the church, many believers thought that there is only one baptism in the water of John the Baptist. They never heard of the baptism in the Holy Spirit by Christ's name, and why they must receive this baptism, as the Ephesians answered Paul, we have never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Understanding their lack of knowledge, Paul explained for them the difference between the two kinds of baptisms. The baptism by water of John the Baptist. This is the baptism to show one's repentance. John the Baptist did this baptism to prepare for people so that they shall believe in Christ, the one who comes after him. This baptism is necessary, but not the only baptism. The baptism by the Holy Spirit of Christ. Jesus received his baptism by John, but not for the forgiveness of sin, because he has no sin to be forgiven. The church father Jerome explained, Jesus received John's baptism to sanctify the water of the Jordan River and all the water which the church uses to baptize the faithful. The main difference between the two baptisms is the presence of the Holy Spirit, which came up from heaven and descended on him. When people receive baptism, they are forgiven not only of their sins, but are also sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sanctifies people by helping them to understand God's words and by giving them the necessary grace so that they deservedly live their vocation of God's children. We can recognize this when an adult is received into the church. He receives not only baptism in water, but also the Holy Spirit through the anointing of the chrism oil, and then the sacrament of the Eucharist is the one rite. To children, the church separates them into three sacraments according to their progress of becoming adults. They receive baptism at birth, the Eucharist when they know how to differentiate between right and wrong, and the confirmation when they are ready to be Christ's witnesses. Paul baptized the faithful in the Holy Spirit. When Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Speaking of language is not only limited to different languages as the apostles did on the Pentecost, but also extended to speaking the language that helps others to understand what God wants to convey, namely the truth and love. Prophecy is not also limited to the prediction of what shall happen in the future, but to speak on the behalf of God, to preach the good news to those who never know about God. When the faithful speak language and prophecy, they don't speak confused and senseless words as mad people, but meaningful words of truth and for upbuilding, which others can understand. An analysis of the gospel. We believe that you came from the Father. Faith and trials. Jesus used the language of heart with his disciples. Today's passage belongs to Christ's teaching, specially preserved for his disciples. To the different audience, Jesus used different languages and style. Jesus had not much time to educate his disciples. He used language of the heart to prepare them for what shall happen. The disciples understood what he said and spoke to him. Now you are talking plainly and not in any figure of speech. Now we realize that you know everything and that you do not need to have anyone question you. Because of this, we believe that you came from God. Trials are needed to test the disciples' faith. Jesus said to them, "Do you believe now? Behold, the hour is coming and has arrived when each of you will be scattered to his own home and you will leave me alone. But I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Jesus did not intend to correct his disciples when he said these words, but he wanted them to know two truths. First, Faith must be tested to know the true faith. Secondly, the one who has a firm faith is never lonely, because he always has God to accompany and to help him through all the dangers of life. Jesus left two sources of peace to his disciples. The disciples have peace when they betrayed their master. How can we understand Jesus' statement? I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. He knew that they shall betray him because of their fear and weakness in this coming passion, but he still loves and forgives them. He wanted to say these words before their betrayal happens, so that they should not be hopeless to the point of committing a suicide, as Judas, but to believe in his forgiveness. Second, the promise of victory before fighting. Jesus continued, "In the world you will have trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world." Nothing that motivates the disciples more than Jesus' promise of victory. Once he is guaranteed a victory, the disciple shall thrust into battle, and nothing can hinder this step. The application in life. We don't need to use literary words in preaching of the good news, but the simple truth which everybody can understand. More importantly, we should use words from our heart, guided and warmed by the Holy Spirit. Our audience is easy to recognize and to understand those who have concern for their needs because the Holy Spirit acts in both the preacher and the audience. We shouldn't fear of anything in our preaching of the good news because the Holy Trinity always accompanies us to enlighten, to support, and to protect us.